Hey, it's your boy Xia Wu Jing, Sandy the Sand Monk, here to raise some curtains with the one, the only, Tang Songjiang Tripitaka himself.
Hey.
We're talking about our favorite chapters of our journey to the West, but this isn't just any recap podcast. We're going to have all of your favorite demons on talking about life after pilgrimage, about their stories, about child murder. We're going to have all of your favorites, Lady Whitebone, Yellow Wind King, Goat Strength Immortal, Antelope Strength Immortal. Maybe we'll sort out that debate. We'll see. And maybe, just maybe, a certain monkey as well. All that and more on Journey of the Monkey King, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we have to have the Monkey King?
See the bit.
Wait, we're doing this over internet. He can destroy wherever then.
What I was imagining is that this like fiction, this I don't know, within the fiction of this hypothetical recap podcast with the actual characters, that this inspired by me just listening to way too many ads for other podcasts while listening to podcasts. My
this is fair.
I have this idea about this stupid fictional version of this podcast where they keep hinting that they are going to have a certain monkey on for ages, and then it's just like the six-ear macaque or something.
Yeah, you're gone.
Oh, good. Am I back? I'm not back. No, I can hear you perfectly.
You're back. You're
okay.
Back, but you're like dying Hal from 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Right, I can hear you fine, which is kind of all that matters for the recording part of this. Hey, could you?
I mean, I should probably hear what I'm reacting to.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Otherwise, I'm just coming in with random bits at random times.
Okay. Like, I have no context for how bad I sound to you.
Okay, you're back. You're back now, but you were
okay.
A little unintelligible.
Okay. Like, I have no context for how, like, because I thought you were saying I was, like, I sounded bad, but was intelligible. So for the purposes of, like, actually doing a recording, if it's annoying to you but I'm intelligible, that could still work. I'm desperate.
Yeah, no, it would absolutely work, and I would do that for you. I would, or us, or for the podcast, for this, I would, unless you sound, like, really screechy or like a vacuum cleaner, because the vacuum cleaners are the devil, and I will not. I got a manual one. It's the best investment I ever made.
What does a manual vacuum mean?
It's just like a carpet sweeper, so it's not electric.
Oh, okay.
So there's no evil devil noise.
Oh, okay, interesting.
I'm questioning the casting of me as Tripitaka, but I'm glad you have faith in my range. I assume that's what this is.
This is again just a bit completely bored out of me getting sick of listening to ads for this kind of thing. And in my head, it was a kind of meta joke in how it's like those podcasts that get made are obviously never made by like the main characters of those shows, because they go on to do something more successful than recap podcasts. So the idea that Tripitaka would be one of the hosts is that, you know, admission that he is absolutely not the main character, even though he's meant to be.
Oh, he's not the star of the show.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah.
We know this. It was a good bit. It was a good bit.
I
always think jokes are funnier when you explain them.
Yeah. good times. Let's start the episode.
Let's do that. It was a good bit.
Welcome to Journey of the Monkey King. I'm Quiva, actually, and I'm joined by my friend MJ.
Hello.
We're on chapter 62 of Journey to the West, and there is going to be talking about torture and mass murder by the state. Good times are ahead.
You know the question I am going to ask.
None of them are explicitly children.
Okay. All right, 'cause I've got some trust issues around that now, but okay. Yeah.
So, all right. So after extinguishing the mountain of flames, pilgrims are on the road again. It's the late autumn, and they come across a new city. This is a real metropolis now. It's like someplace back in China. It's bustling, busy. It's clearly doing very well for itself, except for one thing. They come across a group of Buddhist monks who are pilloried in Kangs. So a Kang is kind of like a stockade, except it's your head is through a board. It's stuck through this board that's locked around your neck. But you're free to move around. You just have this board around your head, which basically makes it impossible for you to feed yourself. And makes things in general very awkward, and is also a mark of punishment in general that, you know, this person is being punished by the state probably, and they are probably to be shunned and this sort of thing. So it fucks up your whole life pretty much. And these monks are in Kangs, and they are destitute and begging. And so the monks, they talk to the monks, their fellow Buddhists, and the monks bring them back to the Golden Light Monastery where they're from. And it has not been taken care of. The lamps are unlit. The ground is covered in unswept leaves. There's cobwebs everywhere, etc. It's hard to maintain a temple when you have huge boards locked around your necks.
Yeah, it makes the sweeping difficult. It makes the flowers and stuff, and I imagine it's a big distraction that's gonna really hinder administration and community maintenance.
So, they go before the abbot, and the abbot asks them if they're the monks from China, because all the monks in the monastery had a dream last night that a holy monk was going to arrive out from the Tang kingdom to save them, and then he gives some backstory about the place. So this place is called the Sacrifice Kingdom.
Oh, cool!
yeah, it's a good name for a place.
I love the Sacrifice Kingdom. it's right next to the Penury Peninsula. And the child murder city state.
Well, we do
hey,
get.
If you're editing things out, you could edit out the super long pause where I tried to find a joke there.
Yeah, I also am going to need us talking over each other because of the delay.
Yeah, pain in the ass. I'm so sorry.
This is why it's very handy that Zoom records two separate audio tracks for us.
Yay!
So to the south, rather than the Punishment Peninsula, is the Yue Tao Kingdom. To the north is the Choco Kingdom, which is where they met Zhu Baji, if you recall. To the east is the state of Western Liang, which is where the women's country is. And to the west is the Benbow Kingdom.
Have we been? No, we haven't. Yeah, no, we're moving to the towards the west. That's,
what?
That's
well, yeah, yeah. You might yep. think that that since the Benbow Kingdom is to the west, that's like a hint, like a, you know, a little preview of where we're going next. But it's not. It's never mentioned again.
Okay, maybe it's just really fucking boring. They're just like, yeah, we walked through it. Tripitaka fell off his horse a bit.
Yeah.
Nothing but sand and fields and just like, yeah, it seems fast. Don't go, not a big tourist destination is the Benbow Kingdom.
I did. I ended up stumbling across this, and this probably should have been context when they were actually in the Choco Kingdom. But the Choco Kingdom was actually a real place. It was a Uyghur kingdom, and then later part of the Tibetan Empire, and now it's part of the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. I still don't know how to pronounce anything. There's
interesting. Good to know.
Yeah. Western Liang was also a real place, but as far as I understand, was not inhabited entirely by women.
Darn.
And I'm probably also pronouncing it wrong. So all of these neighboring kingdoms and the barbarian tribes used to all pay tribute to the Sacrifice Kingdom. And it's not because how great the officers of state are, or the king, because they're not. They're fuckers. It's because of this monastery, and it's because of the treasure that we had, and it was so fucking cool.
Hell yeah.
And 3 years ago, at the start of winter, there was suddenly a rainstorm of blood at midnight, and the monastery's treasure was stolen.
No.
Yeah, you never want the blood storms.
No, imagine the stains.
Yeah.
And if you can't, and that's even more horrible if you're in one of those whatchamacallums, Kang things, the stockades, you know, you're trying to get.
Yeah, well, they weren't in those yet when that happened.
Okay. Still sucks. Vinegar.
That's
or no, that... salt. Salt water. Salt water is what you do with blood.
Good to know.
You're welcome.
But yeah, the reason they are in the Kangs, it's spelled like it's, was it spelled, if you want to look it up, it's spelled Cangue. And it's pronounced, as far as I understand, Kang, or something similar to that.
That doesn't appear to be a Chinese word, so I think you have the right to pronounce it a different way every time you say it.
I can, yeah.
And it's not culturally insensitive.
Wiktionary says it's from French via Portuguese, so.
Oh, fuck those guys. Yeah.
Mainly a like East Asian practice.
Oh, okay. So
but
question mark.
The word is from Portuguese.
Yeah, so they're not in the Kangas at this point.
Yeah. Well, they did get put into them shortly afterwards, because the king's ministers blamed the monks for stealing their own treasure, and the king's an idiot and believed them. The abbot openly just calls the king an idiot. Just like...
Fair enough. I mean, is insurance fraud a thing at this point in history?
I don't. I mean, it might have been, but there's no, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, still unlikely. They wouldn't rain blood on their way out. Again, yeah. the stains. Also, if they're landlocked, I imagine salt would be very expensive.
So actually, I just wanted to double check what the actual word for word quote in the book here is for what the abbot calls the king. He calls the king the dim-witted ruler, never gave the matter another thought.
Ha! Roast that fucker, abbot.
Yeah. The monks were basically all arrested and tortured, and pretty much all the older monks died as a result of this. So this geriatric murder.
Yeah, they had a good run.
Yeah. And yeah, the rest of the monks were tortured. No real information on the demographics of them.
Fair. I mean, not fair on the torture, but you know, I'm just gonna assume that you're not lying to me and that we are probably done with child murder because I'm trying to open my heart and trust people more.
As far as I remember.
And you know what? People are fallible.
And I have a very, very bad memory.
True. There are far too many HDs on this call. Can you just, for comic effect, can you just say, I'm going to edit this out and then edit out everything until I say state-sponsored castration?
If you like.
I think it would be fun. It's up to you.
Okay. Okay. Tripitaka wants to sort this out, but he doesn't fully know yet he doesn't really know what happened with this treasure, so he's not going to go talk to the king just yet. In the meantime, he made a vow back in chapter 13 to sweep the pagoda at every monastery he visited, which I don't think it has been brought up a single time at any monastery
again,
he's visited up until now.
It's boring. It's the Benbow Kingdom of Tasks.
But he's remembered to do it now. So he volunteers to sweep the pagoda the treasure was stored in. And it really needs it. It has not been looked after the last 3 years. So before that, though, Wukong uses some lockpicking magic to unchain some of the priests who are locked up. So there's some priests, I think they're like chained to an actual pillar as well in like the monastery. And those priests go make dinner and draw bats for all the pilgrims. And after eating and bathing, after being like waited on and served, and you know, have a bat drawn for him, then he takes off his good clothes, puts on an undershirt, and pretends to be a little humble normal priest and goes off with a broom to sweep the pagoda.
Fair enough. Very humble. Very down to earth.
The book itself is not making that kind of judgment. I am making that judgment, just to be clear.
That's fair.
So he sweeps 10 of the 13 floors of the tower before he's too exhausted to finish the job and just gets Wukong to do the rest. He did do most of it.
Yeah.
But then he just made Wukong do the rest.
I mean, what's the point of having they call it a disciple with a headband you can tighten at will to cause immense pain if you don't get him to finish your chores?
Of course. So as the Monkey King is doing the upper stories, he hears some speaking at the top of the tower, and there's two monsters up there eating and drinking and playing a finger guessing game.
I'm sorry. A what?
A finger guessing game.
As in, where is it? As in...
Well, I can explain the rules.
Okay.
So we could do it if we turn on our webcams. If you want to risk fucking over the bit rate of the call again.
Yeah, that's the risk here. This is me we're talking about. Okay. Camera is allegedly on. Can you see me?
I can. I can't see your hands.
All right.
So.
All right. Both of them?
So. We have to simultaneously call out a number between 1 and 10 while holding up a certain number of fingers from one hand. And then if the total number of fingers held up on both of our hands is said by a player, that player wins. So if I shout like 5 and you hold up 2 fingers and I hold up 3 fingers, I win. But if you shouted, 6, you don't win. That's the game.
This seems horribly boring.
I mean, this is a game for two guys whose job is to sit at the top of a tower and drink and like have nothing else to do.
I mean, you could get some cards. You could get to know each other. You could do literally anything else but mats. You know, I'm not opposed to games with mats, but D&D has dragons and fucking weapons and shit.
We'll just do one round, all right?
Oh, fine.
So 3, 2, 1, and then actually that'd be confusing to shout 3, 2, 1 and then another number.
Yeah. We're also doing this on a call with a delay, so I don't know. This is gonna.
Yeah. All well, right. Fuck it. Okay.
Fuck
well.
It.
3, 2, 1, go, and then number, I guess. So,
okay.
3, 2, 1, go, 6.
8.
Okay, neither of us got it.
No.
Do you want to keep
7.
Going? Do you want to keep going?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Wukong accuses the monsters of having stolen the treasure 3 years ago, and he drags them in front of Tripitaka and tells them to confess. So these guys are named Busy Bubble and Bubble Busy.
I'm just running out at this point. fucking hell, okay. Fine. Tweedledum and Tweedledee are... Yeah.
Pretty much. But they're both fish spirits. Busy Bubble is a sheet fish, and Bubble Busy is a blackfish.
I have questions about the finger game.
They think they have a human form.
Okay. I'm just picturing these bizarre fish man creatures that are like walking on their tails but have little hands and T-Rex arms and just human hands. One of them is smoking a pipe for no reason except that it pleases me to think about.
Whenever we're talking about animal spirits in this book, it's important to know the fact that they can like they are animal spirits, but they are like almost universally in human form. They can be thought of as, for most intents and purposes, like looking and acting as a human, unless they like, they might end up revert. They like revert to their animal form when they're killed, or if they're frightened and run away, or sometimes to fight with, that kind of thing. But in general, they can be thought of as, and with the dragons as well. If there's ever a dragon that you're they're talking to,
it's just some guy.
It's just some guy. It's not going to be a big serpent.
I'm recontextualizing my experience with this novel. But I'm still, they're the fish people with the weird hands and the pipe in my head, though. Yeah.
So they,
just thought you should know.
Okay. They work for the All Saints Dragon King of the Green Wave Lagoon in the Scattered Rock Mountain. Now, this is the dragon whose party the Bull Demon King went to a couple of chapters ago.
And also just some guy.
But right. That's just some connection there. This is the guy the Bull Demon King's party went to.
Is there at least some costuming?
I'd take it was just a party. His daughter, Princess All Saints, married a guy called Nine Heads. So,
who's also, I take it, just some guy.
Yeah,
who doesn't
yeah.
have nine. Oh, okay.
Nine Heads, he can probably turn into a monster with Nine Heads. Nine Heads and Daddy All Saints stole the treasure together, which was a Sharira. I did look up how to pronounce this, but it was like a couple of weeks ago because this recording kept getting delayed. And yep. I've forgotten to check it again. It can mean a couple things, but in like the context is it's like a treasure found in the ashes of a cremated saint that often resembles a pearl. So it's like this little white round treasure that's found in the ashes of a cremated saint. And that's why it's like a Buddhist relic. It's a Buddhist relic, and that's why it was in this monastery.
Sure. If I sound a little bit deflated for the rest of the episode, it's because I feel like I've just found out that Santa Claus isn't real.
The fact that these people are like mostly in human form.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, if it helps, you could imagine them as like furries.
I was gonna say maybe I was asking myself some questions.
That is how they are illustrated a lot of the time, I think.
So there is at least some costuming.
Yeah.
Well, we create our own magic as adults.
So, also for some reason they decide to just while they're at it reveal a completely different crime they weren't asked about, which is that Princess All Saints stole the 9-leaved agaric from heaven, which the Lady Queen Mother, the Jade Emperor's wife, had planted in front of the Hall of Divine Mists. Agaric is a toadstool and not a plant, so the name is a bit weird that's called 9-leaved, but there's no clarifying footnotes, so I don't know.
Well, the fish people are just dudes, so it makes sense.
A mushroom can just be a plant. So
whatever.
Yeah. The Dragon King heard that Sun Wukong was coming, so he sent out these guys to keep an eye out for him, which is the like silliest possible thing he could have done because they had no leads otherwise. They had no reason to suspect him until he did this. These guys are always sowing the seeds of their own destruction. It's like, oh yes, these powerful monks will capture and plan to eat their master. Oh, they're coming to try and rescue him. We'd better not eat the master until after and get like mega immortal until after we've fought these guys off.
Maybe the boredom has completely rotted their brains. They're just sitting there doing very simple maths all day.
Yeah.
Maybe logical or critical thinking has just gone out the fucking window.
Yeah. The pilgrims anyway, they lock up the Bubble Brothers, and in the morning Tripitaka puts on all his finery and they go to meet the king to tell him what really happened at the monastery. At the palace, they send the Imperial Guard Wukong to go bring the two monsters before the king. And after hearing the monsters confess, the king immediately orders the monks to be freed and a banquet to be prepared, by way of apology to all of the Buddhists that he has like wrongfully tortured and impoverished for the last 3 years. You know, it's no hard feelings.
A free lunch. I'm certainly never gonna turn one down, but it does seem.
Yeah, we'd completely violated your rights. We killed a lot of your kind of elders. Here's some pizza. It's modern management strategy.
Yeah, it does. I was just thinking it did sound like a lot of jobs I've had in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so after they finish up the pizza, which is definitely what they're eating, they send Wukong to go deal with the Dragon King.
Or just the guy.
And if you want to find out what happens with the Dragon King, will Wukong finally be defeated? Probably not, but we'll find out in chapter 63.
Where he will presumably meet more dudes.
He will meet more random dudes we've never heard of up until this point and probably kill them.
Yeah. Yeah. If it ain't broke.
I mean, in fairness, they at least have the narrative has the like monster of the week stories as they are. I very.
Oh, I'm still very much enjoying it. I'm just again.
They have evolved over time. It's not just Tripitaka gets kidnapped again.
No, I enjoy it. I like the monster of the week, but now it's the just some guy of the week, and I'm feeling, I don't know how I'm feeling about this. I'm gonna process.
He is a dragon. He can resume his dragon form, but like, as if he's hosting a party, if he's seeing someone, they generally appear as in human form. But
even at a party, that's a special occasion. You should dragon up for that.
I mean, if you're having a party, it's convenient to have all the guests be, you know, the same species and the same, like, rough body, like, very rough body type in terms of, you know, all being...
seating arrangements and such.
Yeah, like, imagine if you had to have, like, 40 different types of chairs, depending on if your guest showed up as human or antelope or
I mean, accessibility is, you know what, fine, I'll be okay. I need some time.
Okay, like, I'm definitely sure I've talked about them, like, being in human form before on at least individual cases. I'm sorry, FJ.
I mean, you have, but it's more like, I assumed that this was like a decoy, or them just kind of being like, aha, unsuspecting travelers, I will be in human form, you know, and then they're their best dragon selves when they're alone, or when they're with their friends, or, you know, just doing things that don't involve murder and trickery, you know, I don't know, it's not important.
Well, you know, death of the author and all that, and in this case, the author is... Very, very dead.
Okay.
As is the translator.
Oh, Anthony. I'm bummed about that.
Oh, okay. Well,
goodbye, I guess. Bye. Everything you know is a lie.
Please feel free to continue imagining all the various like turtle generals and sturgeon commanders as their actual
turtle generals.
Bye.